Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
I don't want to miss out on the fun either, so here we go. Everybody wave, right, so that you can be in my picture, and I'll post it there. Everybody just wave behind me there, and I'll... Come on, there. Some of your hands are up there. Okay, let me do this side over here. Let me try this side over here. A couple of you are waving. That's good. You guys want to be involved with them? All right, here we go. Over here. Let's go. Ready? There we go. Nice. I'll post that in just a little bit. Hey, happy Easter to you. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's great to have you with us today. If you're a guest, we're so glad that you joined us. You may not know that we are one church in a variety of different locations, actually. We're here in Centerville, obviously. For those of you who are here, we're so glad that you came. Thank you for trusting us. We work really hard to try to keep everything as safe as possible, and we're grateful that you would join us. But we do have a campus to the south, Springboro, and they're joining us right now. Happy Easter, Springboro. So good to see you as well and to have you with us. To the north, Northmont, we have a campus there, and we're glad you're with us. Happy Easter to you. Beaver Creek is meeting in the Beaver Creek High School, and if you know anybody in the Beaver Creek area and you want to point them to that direction, we'd love for you to do that. Happy Easter, Beaver Creek, for you there. Classics is joining us right now as well, and many, many online. Fairhaven, did you know that we have 19 states that are joining us right now online? And so it's great. So by applause in all of our campuses, would you just welcome each other, and especially those that are online with us right now? Great to have you with us. Hey, we offer you Bibles, which you've heard from all of our hosts and campus pastors, and normally I ask you to open your Bibles up. So if you're a guest, you just need to know that I don't normally put scripture right here on this little screen here, but today on Easter is the only Sunday throughout the year that I violate that, and so I'm going to show scripture for you on the screen here. But if you would like, and you have a Bible or a device and you want to turn with me, go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at some of the most disturbing statements by Jesus ever made. And so Matthew chapter 7, if you want to open your Bibles, we'll get there in just a little bit. When I was 23 years of age, I met this really cute young girl, adult, female, and I was just, I don't know why I needed to say that. And I was so enamored by her that I thought, I think she's the one for me. And it turns out she is. Would you like to see a picture of us at 23? Here's a picture of us when we were 23 years of age. There we are. If you haven't... I really don't know why you're clapping, actually, I'll be honest with you. But my wife, Kathy, she looks like she's 12. She's so beautiful. And I mean, I struck the lottery with her. It's just absolutely amazing. And then I look at my picture there. And as I've been looking at it, I'm thinking to myself, I look somewhere between Wesley on Princess Bride to Tiger King, somewhere in the middle of there. I'm actually disturbed by that picture. I'm just not going to lie to you. So we met at 23, and I was really excited about meeting her, and I knew she was the one, and so I thought, I'm going to ask her to marry me. So I made all the plans, and I was excited. It was right around Christmas, and we were living in New York at the time. She was living with her parents, and I had a little apartment in New York, and so I thought I was going to ask her right downtown New York. By raised hand, in all of our campuses, even online if you want to, how many of you have ever been to New York City? Let me just see your hands. Raise them up. Oh, wow, here's Centerville. A lot of you have been to New York City. Well, I was going to take her. I had it all planned out. I was going to take her down to Rockefeller Center. Here it is. The Christmas tree was there. They had lights all over the buildings that were there, Christmas music playing, and the skating rink is there. I mean, it was like the perfect, perfect setting, right? And I was so excited. I had the ring in my pocket, and I choked. Have you ever had an opportunity in your life, and you just choked? Have you ever had a really interesting proposal in front of you and you just dropped the ball, right? You chickened out somewhere in the course of your life, and I chickened out. And these are the thoughts that went through my mind. I don't know why, but I was sitting there thinking, if I kneel down right here, there are people all over the place. I thought, somebody's going to walk right between us as I kneel down and I ask her to marry me. Somebody's going to walk right between us and steal this ring. And I saved a lot of money for this ring. And then I thought, well, what happens if she says no? Like, this could be a really embarrassing in front of all of these people here. And so I choked. I didn't ask her, and I was so disappointed with myself. And we had dinner, and we walked around, and we had a great time, obviously, that evening. And so then on the way home, I thought, I am not going home with this ring. I mean, I had asked her father if I could marry her, and he said yes. And then he looked like this as he was looking around my neck because, yep, it was the 80s. I had a mullet. And so I did cut my hair, and he was pretty happy about that. And so I thought, okay, I can find the second best place, the most romantic second place that would be really romantic in order to ask my wife to marry me. And I did. I pulled over, and it was under the beautiful canopy of the fluorescent lights. And through the sunroof of the car, you could see it coming through. And her eyes were glistening, and I think she might have known what was coming, and I asked her to marry me at the mobile gas station. This is actually the picture of the gas station. We got it off of Google Earth, and that is the pump right there. That is the pump. Because in New Jersey, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Jersey, you can't pump your own gas. They pump it for you. It's a law, actually. And so while the guy was pumping my gas, I asked Kathy to marry me in the car under the beautiful canopy of the fluorescent lights right there at the Synergy Mobile gas station right there. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that I choked that night. And here's what's encouraging, though. When you look through the Bible, you read some stories. And the thing I love about the Bible, if you're relatively new to church or new to the Bible, the Bible is very honest about stories. There's another guy in the Bible who choked, and he choked majorly. His name is Peter. You may have heard of him. Saint Peter, we call him. And Peter choked as well. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus was with his disciples on Thursday of the very week of Easter. So you gotta have a Thursday, because Thursday is about understanding that God loves us. I mean, if there's any doubt, you need to know that God does love you. I mean, that's what Easter is all about, is understanding that on Thursday, God got his disciples together, Jesus did, and he washed their feet as an example of love is the most important thing. Because whoever you love, it's out of that that there should be actions and evidence of that love. Would you agree, right, church? I mean, when I asked Kathy to marry me, I asked her if she loved me. I didn't ask her if she would iron my shirts. I didn't ask her if she would cook meals for me. I didn't ask her if she would watch soccer with me. And when she said yes, I don't think in the back of her mind she was thinking, are you gonna take the garbage out? Will you wash dishes? Because I like to cook, but would you wash the dishes? And would you watch The Bachelor with me? I don't think that's what she was thinking of when she said yes to me in that moment. And you see, when we're thinking of love and we need to understand the idea of love, it's got to be so prominent in our minds. And Peter, in that moment, as he was with Jesus, Jesus said these very words. If you don't mind, I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit. Jesus says, you know, things are going to get a little tense. Things are going to get hard, and many of you are going to disown me. Many of you are going to choke. Many of you are going to walk away, and you're going to drift from that love, and some of you will not even acknowledge that you know me or that you love me. And Peter, I love Peter. I mean, Peter's like this guy, right? And Peter goes up, and he says, not me. I mean, I will absolutely, that is not me. I will not disown you. I will not be ashamed of being, you know, a follower of yours, and you can count on me. I mean, you can take that to the bank. And then Jesus says these words. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And that's exactly what happened. You see, people recognized Peter, and so they said, aren't you, after what Jesus was arrested, aren't you one of those followers? And Peter's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they said, wait a minute, I think we've seen you with him, and you're with the crowd, you're with that group of 12. And Peter says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then the third time is like, wait a minute, you're one of those guys. We know it. Come on, you're one of those guys. And Peter says, look, I have absolutely no idea what you're referring to. It's not me. He denied Jesus three times. He choked. Would you agree with me that the last year has been tense? Would you agree with me that the last year has been at least confusing, if not really difficult, and maybe even we've been angry at a couple of things that have happened in the last year? There's been a lot that's happened in the last year. And the great thing about Easter is that at Easter, we get to clarify our relationship with God. So no matter where you are in your journey of faith, whether you're here at Centerville or any of the other campuses or online somewhere in the United States or around the world, this is the opportunity for us to clarify our relationship. That's why at Easter we celebrate so well here at Fairhaven Church, because we talk about the resurrection, the fact on Thursday night that Jesus was, you know, arrested, and then on Friday he was crucified, and on Saturday it's called Silent Saturday. Nothing. And then Sunday came, and happy Easter. He rose. He is risen. And your response is, he is risen what, church? Indeed, he is risen. We celebrate all of that in a matter of 4 days. And I think Jesus is right, even when he was talking to Peter, that when things get tense and when life gets hard, it's easy for us to lose our love for God. It's easy for us to deny him in sort of ways. It's easy for us to drift away from God. And so this is why I love Easter, because it gives me an opportunity. It gives all of us an opportunity to clarify, what is our relationship with God? What does that actually look like? And so I want to talk with you about that, because when Peter denied him 3 times after the resurrection, after Jesus had died on the cross in order that he could redeem us from all the wrong in our lives. So if you're here and you think that you just need to be good, I'm telling you, you can't be good enough. I've tried, and I'm sure some of you have tried, and I've realized I just can't. And so because of what Jesus did on the cross, I can surrender and give my life and say, I love you back, and I'm in a relationship with him, and it goes away. And then the power of the resurrection, the fact that he walked away, that proves he's the Son of God. It proves that that was God that was doing that. And so we get the power of that in our lives, because we need something way beyond ourselves. And so after the resurrection, Jesus was gathered with a few of his disciples, and on the beach they had breakfast together. And while they were having breakfast, Jesus asked Peter a question 3 times. Now some say it's because he was actually reinstating Peter, meaning Peter denied him 3 times, and so Jesus asked him the same question 3 times. Well, it's possible, but it's far better and far deeper than that. Let me show you what I mean. See, in John chapter 21, Jesus said to Simon Peter, I think you know that Peter's name was Simon, and Jesus changed it to Peter, which means rock, which means that Peter was going to be the thing, the very person that was going to, that Jesus was going to build a church on. I mean, he's going to be the rock, you know, and so he changed his name to Peter. But then he asked him a question. And what's really interesting to me is that Jesus, even in referring to Peter, went back to his old name to clarify their relationship. Here it is. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, didn't call him Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these other disciples that are gathered here as we're having breakfast? And Peter responds, he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What's really interesting is that this word know in the original language, which is Greek, our New Testament is written in Greek. I took Greek in college. Don't ask me to say anything because I don't remember anything, just kind of like you do taking Spanish, right? You may have taken 3 years of Spanish and all you can say is, ¿cómo está? I don't know much about Greek, but I can look at books and I can study. And so I studied, and it's really interesting about this word here. And this is, I believe, why Jesus asked him 3 times the same question. Because when Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you, there's 2 Greek words. Let me give them to you, because one of them I want you to memorize today, all right? Let me give them to you. The first word is eido, which means you know I love you because you've observed the things that I've done. You saw that I followed you. You saw that I was been with you. You saw that I participated in the things that you did. You saw that I actually took the bread and passed it out to those 5,000 people. Remember that story? They broke the bread and they passed it out to all these people. And so the word eido means you see all these things that I'm doing. The second word, which is the most important word, because Jesus uses it in Matthew chapter 7. We're about to get there in just a second. The second word is called gnesko. I want you to say these two words to yourself, because if you remember them, you'll remember this whole Easter. There's Ido, but then there's Gnesto. Gnesto. Say it to yourself, Gnesto. That's the word that I want you to remember, because the other Greek word is Gnesto, which means to know somebody intimately. If you're a note taker, you may want to write down here, to be close in a relationship with somebody. In the first century, see, they didn't talk about sex out publicly. People were too embarrassed. In fact, I think we've gone so far that, you know, we've lost all sense of reality when it comes to our conversations, even in our culture today. But in the first century, they wouldn't even mention that. And so they had an idiom. In other words, they had a way of saying it without really saying it. And the word they would use is gnesko. For example, you know the story at Christmas time when Mary and Joseph, they were engaged to be married, and Mary got pregnant, and the Bible says that Joseph did not know Mary until she gave birth. Anybody ever hear that before? The word is gnesko. That Joseph did not know her intimately. That was an idiom in the first century, that Joseph did not know her intimately until she had the baby. See, this is what God wants with us. This is the way we clarify our relationship. God isn't saying, look, I want to see all that you're doing, and then we can decide if we have a relationship or not. He's saying, do you have an intimate relationship with me? Let me ask you a question. Is it possible to do an awful lot for someone and yet not be in an unconditionally loving relationship? Is that possible? Yes or no, church? Yes. Absolutely it is. That's the guy that changes my oil. I mean, he does a lot for me. I mean, he takes my car, takes good care of it. He knows all about it. I don't know anything about it. I can call him. I've got a cell phone number. I can call him. He does an awful lot for me, but we're not in a close relationship. I don't socialize with him. I don't even know if he's married. I don't know if he's got kids. I don't know anything about him. We're not in a relationship. I know a lot about him, and he knows about my car, and so he does an awful lot for me, but we're not in a relationship. See, God's not looking at all the things that you do. That's not what defines a relationship. You may say, well, I went to church on Easter. I maybe participate in a Bible study, or I call myself a Christian, or you may do things every once in a while that seems like you have some kind of a religious affiliation with God, but that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for gnesto. He wants to know, are you in an intimate personal relationship with him? So I want to focus on the word gnesto. Because when Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Twice, Peter answered, you know what I've been doing. I mean, you see how I've been following you. You see all the things that I've been doing. And that's not what Jesus was looking for. I believe that's why he asked him three times. And so let's look at the third time. So Peter was grieved, meaning he was confused, like, why are you asking me three times? I just gave you the answer, like, three times you're asking me this? And so Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. That's the word eido. Lord, you know, you see everything. God sees everything. God has seen everything about us in the last year. He's seen all of our actions, all of our attitudes, and that's not really what he wants to focus in on. And Peter says, you know everything. And then he says, and you know, gnesto, that I love you. You know, Jesus, that I want to be in an unconditional relationship with you that's an intimate and close relationship. That's what Jesus wanted to hear. Because you see, when you're in a love relationship, it's out of that love relationship that then you want to do the right things for that individual. Am I right? When I asked Kathy to marry me, I had no idea what would happen during our years of marriage. But I'm happy to tell you that she's done so much, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But see, I think Peter had this word, gnesto, in his mind, because he probably was wondering, what is Jesus driving at here? And he probably thought back a couple of years, maybe 3 years, when Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount said some of the most disturbing, surprising comments that he ever said in the New Testament. Let me show you. It's in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Jesus says, quote, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says 'Lord' or calls me a name will enter into heaven." Uh-oh. And then he says, "But the one who does the will of my Father and who is in heaven." But what's the will of the Father? Jesus tells us in a second. He says, not everyone who calls me Lord, not everybody who says, look, God, look what I'm doing, will get to heaven. That's the problem. We better remind ourselves and clarify our relationship with God is so important. I want to make sure, and I'm sure you do as well. Jesus goes on to say, on that day, in other words, when Jesus comes back, see, isn't it great to celebrate Easter? You got Thursday. You got Friday, the day of crucifixion. You got Saturday and you got Sunday. The tomb is empty and we're excited and we get together with family and friends. But church, this is not the only thing we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate today that he's coming back. There's a day when he's going to come back and it's going to get better. Even though things may get tense and things may get hard in life and maybe you're going through the hardest period of your life, I got good news for you that in a relationship with God, it's going to get better. There's going to be a day where there is no more problems. There's going to be a day when we can spend eternity with him. And eternity is a long time. That's the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus says, on that day, many, not a few, not one or two, not several, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Let me add to the list. Did you not see that we attended church on a fairly regular basis? Did you not see that we went to a small group every once in a while? Did you not see that I have a Bible sitting actually in my living room? Did you not see that I was raised in a Christian family? Did you not see that I put my kids in Sunday school? Did you not see all of that? And Jesus says, on that day, many, many will say to me, look at all the things that I've done. God, don't you see all that I've done? And Jesus is driving at something. I think this is what he's saying. He's saying, it's surprising how spiritually close we can come to Jesus without being in a relationship with Jesus. I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not trying to create a guilt trip for anybody. I'm just trying to give you the truth because I want for myself and I want for you that as we celebrate Easter to clarify our relationship with God. Because when we clarify, we can then leave with great joy and real understanding. You see, it's imperative for us to understand that it can be surprisingly how spiritually close you can get to coming to a relationship with Jesus and not actually be in a relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus finishes his thought in Matthew chapter 7. Let me give it to you. He says this, quote, and then when he comes back, and there's a bunch of people there, and we'll all get our day, by the way. And when we're there, and it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never gnesto you. I never was in an intimate personal relationship with you. I saw all the things that you did, but I was not in a personal relationship with you. And I gotta tell you, that's our fault, not his. Because I think you'd agree with me that Easter is all about how far God went to prove his love for us. Easter is about the reality that, you know, as he sent his son and died a gruesome death and walked away from a tomb, he proved that he wants to be in a relationship. That's why, like Peter, he says to us, do you love me? Not, I see what you're doing. Do you love me? It starts there. See, God isn't looking for a connection with us any more than I was when I said to Kathy in that mobile station, will you marry me? I wasn't looking for, hey, can we hang out a little bit more? Like, could we spend more evenings together? Because you're living at your parents' house and I got this dingy apartment, you know, and I wasn't looking for a connection with her where I said, okay, I'll tell you what, you do this and I'll do this. Like, I'll do these things and you do these things, and that's the kind of connection we'll have. I wasn't looking for that connection. God's not looking for that connection. See, he's looking for a commitment from us. He's looking for an intimate, personal, close relationship. It's out of that relationship that he wants to do something in the inside of us, no matter what's happening on the outside, so that we're not going to be pushed around by everything that happens when things get tense, or if they get more tense, or as they have been tense or difficult in our lives. See, he wants a commitment from us. He wants us to be able to answer the question when he says, do you love me, Gnesto? You know, for 34 years, this year, I've been married to Kathy. 34 years. And we are so excited because every year we learn more about each other. It's absolutely amazing. What's really crazy about this is that my wife hasn't hardly changed in 34 years. I mean, we've put her in a frozen, you know, box for a little while, but look at her. It's amazing how she just is the same. And I want you to know that I have shed my Tiger King look. I'm so grateful for that right there. And you know, in these 34 years, do you know what my wife has done for me because she loves me? Because she said yes. She irons my shirts. And do you know that I get to go home and I look in our refrigerator, and often there's a little piece of paper that's on our fridge and there's a list of all the meals that we're gonna have during the week. She actually writes out a menu and lists the meals we're gonna have. And so I get to go home and say, oh, on Wednesday, that's gonna be awesome. And on Thursday, yeah, it's right there. You know, having four sons, you have to do that. Otherwise, you end up buying way too much food. And so she plans that, and she cooks for us. And she has for 34 years. I can make toast. And you know, in the last 34 years, she has rarely, if ever, watched a soccer game with me. Because that's not what I asked her to do. I asked her to love me. And you know, in the last 34 years, here's what I've done. I've taken the garbage out because I know that that would be a help to her, in grabbing all the stuff and bringing it out to the street and taking the garbage out. I clean the dishes because that's what I can do. I can't cook. And so she cooks and I clean the dishes. And I clean the dishes and I like to have things very clean. I'm a kind of an OCD person. I love things really neat and clean. And so I wash the dishes and that's the way I can love her. In the last 34 years, that's been my job to do that. And I can tell you, after 34 years to this day, I still don't watch The Bachelor with her. But starts. That was here at the Centerville campus, in case you wanted to know. But after 34 years, it started with, do you love me? The Apostle Paul got it right. The Apostle Paul brings us right to the resurrection. He says, I want to know Gnesto. I want to know Christ. I want to be in an intimate relationship with Jesus, and here's why. Because here's where the resurrection comes in. I want to know Christ, and I want to experience. See, when you're in a love relationship with God, you'll experience amazing things. There'll be change that happens on the inside that you'll be like, wow. You'll be different. That's why coming to church makes sense, because you get to experience God. We say it all the time here at Fairhaven, you don't have to come to church. You get to. You get to in order to be able to experience God and to be in a small group and spend your own personal time. And Paul says, I want to Gnesco Jesus, to be able to experience him and to have mighty power in my life that raised him from the dead. Here's what Paul is essentially saying, three things real quickly. He's saying that if we don't know Gnesco God, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna be frustrated by the fact that you're not gonna feel close to him. And some of you are like, well, wait a minute. There are times in which I don't feel close to God. No, I get that. I even have those moments. But what I'm talking about is when you're constantly frustrated and it's evident to you that you're just, that God is not close. He seems so far away, and it's all the time. It's not just a few times. It's all the time. You're frustrated and you're doing all the right things, and yet it just seems like God is so far away and frustrated. See, I grew up in a home where I had two parents who loved and knew God. Gnesto, they loved God. But you see, if you're here and you're under 20, pay close attention. Middle school, high school, in each campus, wherever you're at online, if you're under 20, See, if your parents know Gnesto God, that doesn't mean that you do. You have to make your own decision. I had to make my decision. You have to decide whether you're going to Gnesto Jesus or not, whether you're going to be in a personal and intimate relationship with him or not. And so if you don't know God, Gnesto, you're going to be frustrated by not feeling close. And that's a real frustration because you might be doing all the right things and you're like, man, where is God in all of this? And that's a very frustrating journey. Secondly, Paul says, if we don't know Gnesto God, there's a sense of powerlessness in our lives. We'll feel powerless. You know, I'm not a big comic book guy, and I'm not a real, you know, Power Ranger, Power, you know, these big movies and all this. But I have a friend who is. I mean, you're either DC or you're Marvel. You can't be either one, right? And so you like these super, you know, human heroes. And so I've got a buddy of mine who's, you know, is absolutely a Marvel guy. And he doesn't want to do anything with the DC. He just wants, he's Marvel, right? And so, but as I thought about it, I thought to myself, well, the reason why I think he likes it and the reason why all of us like superhero, you know, stories is because we want something, we want a power beyond ourselves. I got good news for you that if you're in a Gnesto relationship with God, you can experience power that you don't have in your own life to be able to overcome when things get tense and when things get hard and when things get difficult. Thirdly, Paul says, if you don't know Gnesto God, you'll wonder why others have joy while you don't. It doesn't mean that they'll always have smiles on their face. We're not talking about false happiness, like when you get a gift or something, you know, exciting happens at work, you get a promotion or you get a bonus or whatever it might be, stimulus check, you know, and you get a smiley face. I'm talking about in the middle of tense and difficult things, you can have a heart that's settled, where you're not pushed around by external things. That's joy. And when you see somebody that has it, let me tell you, the world around us is like, man, I want some of that. I want some of that. And Paul says, without Gnesto, you'll wonder why people have joy in their life while you don't. See, let me tell you what Easter is all about. Easter is all about answering two questions. Do you love me? Do you know me? And they're really interchangeable. See, the word love here means unconditionally. And the word know, Gnesto, means are we in a love relationship? It starts with love. When I look at these two questions, the way I see it, there's only three answers. So I want you to find yourself in one of these three answers because Easter is about clarifying your relationship with God. Let's not choke here. Let's make sure we get this right. It's just that important. See, one answer could be to the question, do you love me, is yes. I already Gnesto you, and I love you. It's as if Jesus is getting on his knee and he's proposing to us. There's not a ring involved, but there's life and a relationship and power and forgiveness and freedom. He's offering that. All we have to do is accept it and say yes. So for some of you, you've already said yes, and today on Easter is another day of declaration. It's like an anniversary. You just want to, again on Easter, say, yes, that's me. I Gnesto, I know him. I'm in a personal, intimate relationship, and I'm committed this next year to continue to love him, and I want my love for him to be evident to the world around, and I want to do the things because I love God that would prove to him that I love him. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Not now. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a second. There's a second option, and the second option is, yes, I want to know and love Jesus. See, it's possible that some of us have lost our love for God, and we're just going through the motions. And God doesn't want to see our actions. He wants to know if we love him, because if we love him, it's followed by the actions. And so some of us, as we've gone through this last year, you've lost your love for God, and it's very evident. You know it, and maybe some people around you know it, and you're in a safe place here. In any one of our campuses, you're in a safe place. Online, you're in a safe place. And we're going to let you to raise your hand as well to say, yeah, that's me. Or you may not have ever made the decision. You've done a lot, but you've never made the decision, I want to be in a relationship, gnesto, in an intimate relationship with God, I want to admit today on this Easter that I love Jesus back. I love God back. And I want to start there because that's the best place to start. There's a third option. And as a church, if you're a regular attender, you know that we want to create an environment where if your answer is not yet, I'm interested in knowing and loving him, but not yet. We want you to know that you're in a safe place. In any one of our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, Classic, right here at Centerville, even if you're online joining us, this is a safe place. We want you to process this and think this through. We want to pray for you, actually. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because we don't want to embarrass you. But I'd like you to pick one of the top two here if that applies to you. Some of you are like, yes, I already gnesto, and I love him. And I want to affirm that today. Would you just raise your hand right now? Even online, there's a little button there. You can just raise it. All over here at Centerville and all of our camps, would you just raise your hand right now if you're saying, I want to affirm that I already know God, that I already love him, and I just want to affirm that again. Raise them up high all over the place. And all over this, right here at Centerville, I'm looking at hundreds of people as they're raising their hands because you're saying to God, I reaffirm the fact that I love you and that I want to be in an intimate relationship with you. And it's out of that that I'm going to do everything that needs to be done because I love you and I want to know you. And look at all these hands that are there. They're raised up. Thank you so much in all of our campuses. Put your hands down if you wouldn't mind. Secondly, there's some of you are like, you know, I've lost my love. Some of you are like, you know what? I've not really ever made that commitment. I've never actually received as Jesus has made this proposal, do you love me? And maybe today is your day. You want to make that decision because you don't want when Jesus comes back for him to look you in the eye and say, I didn't know you. I didn't gnesto you. And Easter is a great time to clarify that. If you've lost your love, or your love has waned for Jesus, or you want to make that decision for the very first time, in a safe place in all of our campuses and even online, would you slip your hand up right now? Just wherever you're at, thank you. Just slip it up wherever you're at, thank you. Thank you. Just slip them up wherever you're at. All over the place. This is your opportunity where you get to say thank you. Thank you. Way in the back there, thank you. Anybody else? You get to say, I've lost my love. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's easy. Things get tense. Life gets hard. And we drift. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Way in the back. Anybody else? Thank you. Church, would you give them a huge round of applause and welcome them to the family? That's what Easter is about. Clarify our relationship as God says, I love you. Will we love him back? Would you bow with me? And if you made that decision for the first time, or if your love has drifted, you can just pray a prayer silently that goes something like this. Lord, I do want to love you. I want to be in a relationship with you, and it's out of that love for you that I want to love you back in every area of my life. Help me as I desire to follow you and to be obedient and to be an example to the world of this love that I can have with you. Thank you that you loved me first and forgave me and gave me the opportunity to have life. Oh, Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for all these hands that affirm today that this is the decision that we want to live with, that on Easter, to clarify the fact that we do know you and we love you and we want to live that out. So, Father, now as we turn it over to the campus pastors at each campus, Lord, that we can agree together at what we are doing here matters. Easter matters because of the empty tomb. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.